This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Happy Wednesday. Welcome into the Annie Fry Show. Good to be here. Ryan and Katie in here as well. No Mark Cox, though.
No
How
Mark.
Was that yesterday?
That feels weird. Got so used to it for that first hour that now it's going to be hard going
back.
Can't
go back.
For a whole hour of coverage. Mark was pretty enamored with his old digs. Mark Cox is the morning show host here on 97.1, and he is on the air now from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m., which is old hat for him because he is an old TV guy. And I say old. You know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Experienced with age. Just kidding, Mark. We love you.
Wink, wink.
But, I mean, he's a veteran of morning television. And then when he got his news show on a news talk show here on 97.1, it was first Sunday nights, which is where I got my start, and then noon to three for a few years, quite a few years. So he got used to that. Then he got bumped up to the morning show. It's quite a different lifestyle, Katie.
Yeah, he was so excited. He's like, wow. I don't get to just talk for 6 minutes now. I get to talk for 13 minutes, and I get to elaborate
on
what I'd like to say.
On,
he was so excited
for it. Annie goes on and on and on every day.
I told him, I'm like, I do not miss waking up at 3 or 3:30 in the morning with you, Mark. I can't lie to you. I don't miss that.
I'm awake
whatsoever.
A lot. I just haven't fallen asleep yet.
It's true.
It's true. I wonder if there are morning people who finish their day with their work. If you just stay up all, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I could. The 5 a.m., I think 6 a.m. is drastically different than 5 a.m.
Yes.
Preparing for 5 a.m. versus 6 a.m.
Yes. And Trisha Siekman and I wanted to try and stay up and see if staying up all night would help us be more alert and awake in the morning when we were doing our show prep. Was not the case at all. Never, ever the case.
How'd that day go?
You know.
Yeah, did you try it the same day?
We didn't actually try it. It was a thought experiment that we were like, that,
when
that
you
would
were out one night.
Right?
What if we just stayed out
that
all night?
That would be fun, right? And then
I
both
think
of
that
us
sounds
like
a good idea of medium drunk.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know what we should do?
You guys, we're such good friends. We should never sleep again. Would that be so cool?
I don't know if that's medium drunk. That might be something else.
That might be way.
So yesterday was weird. Yesterday was my anniversary, 13 years with my husband. And that blows my mind that I have been married for 13 years. And so I was not home celebrating the anniversary, though. And today is Ryan Wiggins' birthday. As
Happy
I understand
birthday.
It, a little birdie named Ryan Wiggins told me that last week on the air.
Or a couple weeks beforehand and every day since.
So we are officially canceling your birthday publicly today, and we're going to celebrate it next week. Is that okay with you?
Sure.
All right. And let me explain why. Because Katie and I have some things up our sleeves. And yesterday, and I'm gonna push through this. We're going to, this is going to be hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yesterday at about 10 o'clock in the morning, I found out that my grandma passed away. And I even put extra makeup on because I thought if I put on extra makeup right now, which is really, really impactful when you're on the radio to make sure that you wear a lot of mascara so that you don't cry and get emotional. She's 95. Nothing to do with COVID. So I know that that's like, you know, anybody who passes away now, like you can get into a car accident and you're like, was it COVID related? Nothing COVID related. She was 95 and she had 95 incredibly full years of life. And, she had been in the hospital since last Wednesday, which I will tell you, Tim Jones is going to be on the show today later, and I'm going to tell you, everybody, right now that I was finding out that my grandma last week had discovered in the hospital that she had had a heart attack, and she was incredibly healthy, you know, up until you go to the hospital when you're 95 and you know, you're on maybe like two daily pills or something and some vitamins or maybe like a baby aspirin. She was really healthy, and I have to tell you, I am so happy to be swimming in this gene pool right now. Like, to see the life that she was able to live to 95. Last Wednesday, right around when I was interviewing Tim Jones, when Ryan and I were interviewing Tim Jones, I had found out that, because she had gone to the emergency room, I had found out that she actually had a heart attack. And so there were several shows, if you went back and watched them, where I was actually kind of teary-eyed in the middle of the show, but you just got to keep going. You don't have a choice in life. And it is a bit difficult to do that when you are on the air speaking to thousands of people at one time and you're talking, you know, you're getting all drummed up about the stupid thing that Joe Biden said or the stupid thing that Donald Trump said or tweeted. And your heart is in such a different place because those are the things that matter. And she was supposed to come home yesterday. She was doing much better. She was supposed to come home the day before that. And I think her heart went back into AFib. And so they're like, nope, we're going to change your medication. But the intention was to send you home the next day. So, you know, when your grandmother is 95 years old, and I'm going to tell you that this is the grandma that I've been going every Sunday night my entire life, save the majority of 2020, because you protect those people near you that you love. And playing Pinochle in Hamel, and my 10-year-old and my 8-year-old play Pinochle. I said they're nerds and freaks of nature, but they can play Pinochle. It's just, it becomes a part of your life. And when your 95-year-old grandmother goes into the hospital and she's healthy otherwise, and they tell you that she's going to come home, you kind of think she's going to come home. But you know that, you know, you're 95 years. When you're asking for more time with somebody who has lived that long, I'm not going to say you're being selfish, because I would take more time with her this very second if I could. But in the span of life right now, when you look around at the world and you see that the world is literally burning right now in places, like literally on fire, and I said to Katie, and I'm just asking you all today to bear with me, because I'm going to be taking tomorrow and Friday off to prepare for the family coming in and for the services and stuff. I said I wanted to do this show today, and I don't know what the show's going to sound like. I'm going to be honest. And I printed out the sheet, and it's got all of the cuts on here that Katie and Frank and Andrew pulled for me. And I looked up there, I go, I got to be honest, I don't really know what's going on. I love my grandma so much, and she loved all of us so much. And I have to tell you that for somebody who lived 95 years, we counted up the members of our family, because here in the state of Illinois, in Region 4, we are limited to how we can remember her and celebrate her at her service. And I'm not gonna make that a thing right now, because I'll probably make it a thing next week. Let's just be honest. When you count up your family, we have 51 people that are a member of my grandmother's family that are direct descendants because my grandma was here. That's pretty freaking cool, you know, to think that we span the country and we are a very diverse group of people. We are not a monolith of people. You know, we might all look the same. We might all have come from the same place, but we all think very differently. That's a good thing. You know, to think that you could take one group of people that span 50 individuals that are spread all across the country, we think differently. It just goes to show you how individual we are as Americans, as individuals, as family members. We're all very individual people. And when it comes time to push everything else aside, like, everything else feels to me like noise right now. It's not unimportant. When you lose somebody like this, or when life smacks you across the face because you know, whether you saw it coming or not, it's inevitable. You know, when you've got somebody in your family who's lived 95 years, it's not like you're expecting another good 30 or 40 more. You know what's coming. But when this interjects itself into your life, all of a sudden, all of these other things that you've been paying attention to so much really just become like noise, and you kind of want to turn it off for a minute so that you can go through this and process this in a way that becomes healthy. But I do want to point out that that doesn't make the things that are noisy unimportant. They just become less important momentarily. And when we live in a society where, you know, this stuff is generally noise to begin with, when you're not struggling with something that's personal to you, maybe a personal health issue, maybe a loss, maybe a divorce, maybe, you know, a health issue in the family, maybe it's COVID, things begin to shift around in your perspective. I want you to think about, for me and for my grandmother, Evelyn, who is who I named my youngest after, I want you to think for a second about, in that moment, if you have the luxury right now of not being forced into that moment, what are those important things to you? I hope it's family. For me, it's absolutely my faith. I'm very vocal on this show about being a Christian. It's very important to me. I definitely understand that if you are listening to the show, there's not a prereq for you to be a Bible believing, Jesus fearing Christian. I understand that. And if you are not that person, I'm still so very glad that you are here and that we can still have all of these conversations, these kinds and, you know, the silly ones that we have as well. But I do want you to think for a moment about, if you are in a place in your life right now where you are not being forced into asking yourself, like, what are the most important things here? You're blessed right now to not be forced into that. See if you can make yourself answer that question. See if you can, outside of the experience of mourning or of pain or of suffering, see if you can ask yourself, what are the things that are most important to me right now? What can I not afford to lose? And what will I lose eventually that I need to cling to? And if you can ask yourself that question, and if you can answer it, especially when you're not forced into it, you will be grateful down the road that you did. You'll be grateful that you made the time for the things that were important. Whether it's, you know, if church isn't your thing, but church is your mom or your dad's thing, maybe just go sit in church with them. If you haven't talked to somebody because, God forbid, they think differently than you do politically, go talk to them about, I was going to say sports, but that's political. Ryan, what's not political?
Best shows on Netflix right now.
Oh.
Oh, wait. Darn it.
Not that.
I mean, Hulu. I don't know.
Hulu. Find something that you both love and open a conversation and keep it centered on what's the most important thing. What is the most important thing right now is not persuading this person on the other side of the conversation to believe exactly what you believe. What's most important is that your heart connects with their heart. Because sooner or later, that heart might not beat and be there for you. I'm going to miss my grandma very much. I'm going to get my act together here in the next couple minutes, and I'm going to do a show for you, and we're going to talk about real things with real people. And we are canceling Ryan Wiggins' birthday today because I'm crying and I can't adequately tease him and push on him on his birthday like I would like to. So we're going to throw you a surprise party next week, and you're just not going to know what day it is, but it's also going to be the day when I can get my act together. Surprise!
Okay. Looking forward to next Friday.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Surprise, I feel okay. Let's do
maybe
this.
It. Thank you for bearing with me. Like I said, this is not going to be the whole show. I don't want it to be a downer, but if I get weepy because I haven't talked about it through the rest of the show, then it's just weird. So a humongous, humongous thanks to Mark Cox yesterday and to Tim Jones, who filled in for me because I was much more broken up than this yesterday, and I'm actually doing pretty good. Thank you for being here. Thank you for sticking with me. I'm going to go smack myself in the face a few times and get my game back on here in a minute. Don't go anywhere.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the Andy Fry Show. Thank you for choosing to spend some time with us today. We're very grateful for it. I've got my Gulf Shores Police Association t-shirt on. The Gulf Shores Police Association, or the police department, apparently listens to the Andy Fry Show. And if you are watching the news right now, you see that Sally, Hurricane Sally, is right over Gulf Shores. And so our thoughts and prayers are out to all of our friends who are used to listening to this show. It's kind of a weird thing that, like, there's this, like, niche cult following of the Andy Fry Show in Gulf Shores, but I think the police chief there used to be police officer in Collinsville, Illinois.
Yep.
And he brought us with him, which is fantastic. And they sent us, I don't know if you can see, not quite. Let me lift this up on the camera. If you're watching us on the Facebook Live at facebook.com/Andy Fry Show or on the YouTube Live, the Gulf Shores police patch. Police departments are starting to send me their patches, and I think
so
it's the
cool.
coolest thing ever.
Oh, that's
ever.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
So I've got the NYPD, which is how this kind of started when Katie and I visited New York City last year to accept an award that the show won, a national award that the Andy Fry Show won. We went to Trump Tower, and there were some, I don't remember what, I mean, they were an NYPD, but they were serving in like an anti-terrorism task force capacity, mm-hmm. standing in front of Trump Tower guarding it because it's Trump Tower. And I told this story, I guess it was last week, how they said that there'd be people who would walk out in front of Trump Tower every single day and like flip at the double bird and
yep.
like walk away feeling proud of themselves. Like, it's a building.
That was before all the this started. I mean, that was when things were relatively calm, that they still have to guard that building every day.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, for sure. So we've got that, and then I've got one from the Edwardsville Police Department. So I'm gonna just start displaying them all up here around my Andy Fry Show sign that I have in my studio, and I'm grateful for that. We absolutely support the police, but specifically today, we are thinking about these people in the Gulf who are waiting for Sally to come and go, and hopefully not cause much destruction in the wake. I mean, can you look around the country right now and just go, wow, like, wow, fires, hurricanes, riots. I mean, it is a heavy, heavy scenario.
Yep. And guess whose fault it is? Those natural disasters. I mean, I'm telling you what, darn it, Trump.
Did we play that? See, I'm sorry. If you were joining us now, yesterday I took off, found out that my grandma passed away, and I'm not going to get emotional about that for the rest of the show because I have reapplied my makeup and I'm not allowed to. But I can't remember. I can't, like, there. It's like there was a chunk of time that was removed from my life in the last 24, 48 hours. And did we play that sound of Joe Biden?
We did, from yes. Delaware.
That
yep.
was from Delaware. That's right, Delaware. Mm-hmm. And,
that's right.
And he just basically lists off every natural disaster, good grief, that is taking place. And then he's like,
But if you elect me, I don't think that's how it works, Joe, but, you know.
Well, he even says at the beginning of the clip, you know, well, these things aren't Trump's fault. But then he lists everything under the sun that could possibly go wrong and says, I will fix them somehow as president.
Well, let's go listen in right now. The White House has a press briefing taking place. Let's listen in to see what Kayleigh McEnany has to say.
Brazen and unprovoked attack against law enforcement. One of the deputies attacked was a 31-year-old mother of a 6-year-old boy. She was seen on security footage attending to the wounds of her partner, despite being shot in the jaw and arm herself. She is a true hero. Rushed to the hospital, these two deputies were targeted yet again. The LA County Sheriff's tweeted this: to the protesters blocking the entrance and exit of the hospital emergency room, yelling, "We hope they die," referring to two LA sheriffs ambushed today in Compton. They said this: do not block emergency entries and exits to the hospital. People's lives are at stake. Truly despicable behavior from those protesters. People's lives are indeed at stake. It is truly, quote, a double miracle, as the Los Angeles Sheriff Alex Villanueva described it, that these two deputies are alive today. Targeting a police officer is an assault against your community. It is an assault against law and order. It is antithetical to what we value as Americans. We all remember the disastrous impact of the Ferguson effect. We do not want to see a repeat today. Defund the police is not just dangerous policy, it is a poisonous ideology. We must respect our police, not revolt against them. In the past 24 hours alone, we've seen law enforcement targeted across the country. This is in 24 hours. In Phoenix, a U.S. Marshal was ambushed and shot outside a federal courthouse in a drive-by shooting. In Linwood, California, a suspect approached a patrol car and fired a handgun into the passenger side window. In Suffolk, Virginia, a suspect opened fire on a marked police car, hitting the vehicle 3 times. This is within 24 hours. These acts are despicable. Rhetoric such as defund the police is likely to have negative consequences for law enforcement across the country, threatening the safety of our communities. As Los Angeles Sheriff Villanueva warned, the ambush in Compton is a, quote, sober reminder. It's a dangerous job. Actions, words have consequences, he said. Our job does not get any easier because people do not like law enforcement. It pisses me off, he said. It dismays me at the same time. There's no pretty way to say it. The president wants law and order, which is the best way to ensure peace on our streets. And he wants our police to be respected and protected. And with that, I'll take questions.
Okay. Yes, Kayleigh, thank you so much. I have 2 questions, if you don't mind. The first one is about masks. This morning, CDC Director Robert Redfield testified that masks are more guaranteed to protect people from COVID than a vaccine. Last night, the president continued to question their use. So why is he sending mixed messages about something that doctors say can save lives?
And the president has always supported mask wearing, and he's made many comments to that effect from this podium. Yesterday, he was pointing to a quote that even Dr. Fauci has noted, which is that masks can have unintended consequences. While we support wearing them, and it's patriotic to do so, the unintended consequences can be inappropriate usage, touching the mask, and then going on and touching something else. So the president very vividly described that unintended consequence that can come if not worn appropriately.
All right. And secondly, on September 3rd, you said the herd immunity so-called theory was something made up by the fanciful minds of the media. That was never something that was ever considered here at the White House. But last night, the president said that the country would eventually achieve herd mentality. I believe he meant immunity, to explain how the virus would, quote, go away. So did the White House shift its position about this in the past 2 weeks since you made those comments? And what is the position about using it as a strategy?
Herd immunity has never been a strategy here at the White House. The president last night was noting herd immunity is over a period of time. A country, a society can reach herd immunity. It's a fact. It was not a strategy ever presented here at the White House. And in fact, he went on in that very same exchange to say with a vaccine, this will go away very quickly, noting our strategy is to get a vaccine. And we will do so at the fastest rate for a novel pathogen.
So he doesn't agree with Dr. Atlas's view that everyone should just catch it and then we'll move on.
That's not Dr. Atlas's view. Dr. Atlas, I'm with him every day. He's never proposed herd immunity as a strategy, nor has the president. John.
A couple of other questions on COVID, if I could. Have any members of White House staff recently tested positive for coronavirus?
I don't share people's personal medical information.
But we've heard in the past when that has been the case. Why the change?
I've seen the reporting out there, but again, I'm not here to give people's personal identities. In the past, when I've discussed a case, unfortunately, that individual's name was leaked to the media.
Okay. Secondly, something else that Dr. Redfield said was that while some people in high-risk categories may receive a vaccine by the end of the year, it would likely not be until the end of the second quarter or the third quarter before vaccinations were widely available. Is the president okay with that timeline, or does he want to see a vaccine more widely available earlier than that?
We're still of the belief that we will have a vaccine by the end of the year. Operation Warp Speed has made it clear that their goal is to have in more than 100 million doses. We're manufacturing in advance to make that a possibility.
Right. You indicated that, but it was the idea of the vaccine being more widely available, like a flu vaccine, not until possibly next summer or maybe even early fall.
We do believe that it will be widely available by the end of the year. It's why we partnered with Sanofi, GSK, Pfizer, and now Johnson & Johnson with $1 billion contracts to manufacture 100 million doses. So we still feel that we're on the right timeline.
When you say widely available, do you mean to everyone or just people in high-risk groups?
I'm not going to engage in a hypothetical, but it's our goal to have at least 100 million in production by the end of the year.
Yes. I have two questions. You said that the president was talking about wearing a mask improperly last night, touching it, referring to what Dr. Fauci has said. But he said, quote, there are people that don't think masks are good. That's clearly not what the CDC director thinks, since he said today that masks are an important, powerful public health tool we have. They could be even more protective against COVID than a vaccine. So have any medical experts told the president that masks aren't good, or is he only citing non-medical experts like he did last night?
He's referring to the fact that when used appropriately, they can have unintended consequences, much like what Dr. Fauci said. It's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is, and oftentimes there are unintended consequences. So the president agrees with Dr. Fauci that mask wearing is good. It's recommended. The president's continually recommended it from this podium, but he was just pointing out some of the unintended consequences if not used appropriately.
He didn't say that. He just said there are people that think masks aren't.
Do you have his whole exchange? Would you like to read it out?
I watched it last night. There are people who don't think masks are good. He didn't say improperly or anything like that.
He went on in a very... Unfortunately, a bunch of you are very keen on doing selective editing of the president's quotes and not referring to the second half. Directly under that statement, he talked about a waiter touching the mask, then touching a plate, and that being an unintended effect of wearing a mask. That is an example of a mask not being used appropriately.
Waiters don't think masks are good. But
he described the exact scenario in which a mask could have an unintended consequence if not used appropriately. And we can send you the clip. We'll put it up on Twitter for you.
No, it's okay. I just wanted to see if there's any medical experts who have said that.
I just read Dr. Fauci's quote, so go ahead.
Yes, I've read Dr. Fauci's quote. On the health care plan, the chief of staff said today that there is going to be one unveiled before the election, one that the president has been promising for over a year now, long before then. But today on Capitol Hill, the three top medical experts in this administration said they have no idea of any kind of plan that's being formulated. So who is it that is working on the health care plan that's going to be introduced before the election?
So here at the White House, we have a wide array of people working on it. There have been elements of it that have already come out, like the telemedicine plan, the drug importation EO, the most favored nations were elements of what is an overarching plan. There's more that will be forthcoming. And in aggregate, it's going to be a very comprehensive strategy, one where we're saving healthcare while Democrats are trying to take healthcare away, where we're making healthcare better and cheaper, guaranteeing protections for people with pre-existing conditions, stopping surprise medical billing, increasing transparency, defending the right to keep your doctor and your plan, fighting lobbyists and special interests, and making healthier and finding cures to diseases. And those are the principles principles that will animate multiple stakeholders here at the White House who work on policy. So our domestic policy council and others are working on a health care plan.
Not the CDC director, not Bob Padlock, not Admiral Jouar. None of them have any idea about the health care
plan. I'm not going to give you a readout of what our health care plan looks like and who's working on it. If you want to know, come work here at the White House.
Yes. So I just wanted to know who's working on it.
Yes. Stakeholders here in the White House, and as I told you, our domestic policy council and others in the White House are working on a healthcare plan, the president's vision for the next 5 years. Yes, and if you want more, come join us here. Yes,
That's not the point why I asked the question.
Yes,
I think you know that.
Okay, I've called on you four times. So, Mario, go ahead.
Thanks, Kaylee. When should we expect the president to make a decision on TikTok? And to what degree is that decision delayed by just disagreement among his senior advisors?
Yeah, so you'll have a decision here in short order. I'm not going to get too far into it because I don't want to get ahead of the president, but obviously we care deeply about protecting the data and security of American citizens. Yes.
Thank you, Kaylee. Two questions. One is about vaccines. Some people within the Trump administration indicate that there might be a vaccine within a few weeks. Right now, we're all being tested for COVID. Are you going to require vaccine that we be vaccinated to enter the White House complex?
I'm not going to get ahead of any hypothetical. Right now, we're hard at work at actually getting the vaccine, and then plans for distribution will be determined thereafter. There were some guidelines put out today to that effect about how they'll be distributed by HHS and DOD.
Okay. And also, one thing is that Bob Woodward said that the president's response to COVID was, quote, a monumental, catastrophic leadership failure. That this is a tragedy for Trump and for the country. What is your response to that?
That it's absolutely preposterous and absurd. Look at the facts. Look at the data. Look at the fact that Europe, for instance, has experienced a 28% higher excess mortality rate than the United States. Look at the fact that we have one of the lowest case fatalities in the world. Look at the fact that from scratch, we developed the largest and most advanced testing system in the entire world, testing more than every country in Europe put together and more than every nation in the Western Hemisphere combined. Look at the fact that we have three vaccines in phase three clinical trial. That is a historic response, mobilizing the private sector the fastest, or mobilizing the private sector to the greatest degree since World War II. This president has broken through barriers. He's a businessman. He's the commander-in-chief. He's the leader of the country, and he has done a phenomenal job, to quote none other than Governor Andrew Cuomo.
Yeah, I was simply letting a colleague finish. Can I ask my question?
No, I'm not going to reward not speaking up and asking your question. Go ahead. Anyone else? Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. The president said on Twitter today that Republicans should go for a much higher number when it comes to the stimulus. What did he mean by that exactly? And has he spoken to Senator McConnell or Speaker Pelosi about what number?
Yeah, so what the president was referring to was the $500 billion bill that passed the Senate, the phase four plan that didn't include, it got 50 votes in the Senate. It's that $500 billion skinny proposal, but it didn't include direct payments. So he wants more than the $500 billion, and he is very keen to see these direct stimulus payments. And we hope that Nancy Pelosi will work with us in good faith. There are many bipartisan proposals out there that have merit. And a clear example of where Nancy stands is that everyone wants to be in D.C., seems to want to make a deal, except Nancy Pelosi. She wants to play politics. Look at the letter she wrote condemning the Problem Solvers Group proposal. That was a $1.5 trillion plan that if the priorities were modified and made sure that there was not bailout that bailed out states that didn't have COVID-related issues, that just were blanket bailouts to blue states, that's something that we would entertain and look at. But Nancy Pelosi immediately decried that proposal in a letter because she's not interested in a deal. Yes.
So we've got Kaylee McEnany at the White House, and we took, 12 minutes maybe of press conference there?
Mm-hmm.
Did they have a press conference yesterday? I mean, I've been out of the loop.
Yes, but I think the president was, I don't know if it was Kaylee leading that one. I think the president did it.
Should they be asking any questions about, peace in the Middle East?
Right.
That's what one was about.
This is an honest question because I've been out of the world here for the last 24 hours or so. I mean, TikTok? I get the TikTok deal. I understand why, this is an effort that the president's, the administration is pushing back against China, but gosh,
I saw the headline that Nancy said that peace in the Middle East is a distraction.
Yes.
Only for you, ma'am. Only for you.
Yes.
Quick break. We come back. Ryan, we'll get your reaction to, I don't know. That was drivel. I don't even know how to react to it. Let's listen to Despacito when we come back. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, hold on tight, folks. The future of America is upon us. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey, don't have people telling you jokes on the Facebook Live and the YouTube Live. I just told Katie and Ryan that I played these songs to lighten myself up today.
Yep. That's what you need.
If I play a little Offspring, will that lighten the mood?
I don't know anybody that hears this song and doesn't at least smile, even if just ironically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you all become a... It's kind of uniting in a weird sense, even here in 2020. So it's really funny when you take a step out of the world for a moment. And for me, that was yesterday. And if you were listening at the beginning of the show, I'm going to repeat this a few times just so people kind of understand what's going on. Maybe you tuned in yesterday and Mark Cox did the first hour of the show. Katie goes, did you hear when Mark handed the show off yesterday to Tim Jones? I was like, no. She's like, it was funny.
It was funny.
I lost my grandmother yesterday and my grandmother was 95 years old and I'm very dearly close to her. And I decided to pour my soul out for you at the beginning of the show and play Offspring in the rest of the show so I could get my act together. Mm-hmm.
And, the rest of the show is all Offspring.
Offspring. I don't know. I think I might know two Offspring songs.
Well, do
I
know those two?
Do I know over and over? Do I know more than two Offspring songs?
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
So,
if we
yeah.
played them.
Yeah. They all sound kind of the same.
Sounds like a challenge to
just
Katie.
Just like Beastie Boys. Mm-hmm. Like you could play the same Beastie Boys song every segment and I'd be like, oh, what's this one called? Every time. Anyway, so when you step out of the world and you have, you know, your priorities get shuffled for you, or if you take a vacation and maybe you flip up on your phone and you see something, it's very weird to see what kind of stories like cut through. Mm-hmm. Like if you see like Trump tweets, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't have time for that. Like, I don't have time for Trump tweets right now. Like, I have more important things to do. When you see Trump secures third deal with peace in the Middle East, you're like, oh, what's that about? And then there are other things that come out and they cut through, and I fear that this is what cuts through to the majority of Americans right now.
I just have one thing to say. Hang on here.
Take your time. Take your time.
All right.
It's like I stepped out of reality and I step back in. I'm like, nope, this can't be right. I'm in the wrong place here.
I tell you what, if I had the talent of any one of these people, I'd be elected president by acclamation.
What?
What does that mean?
I quit. I am going to go walk outside of this door and walk back in for the actual reality that exists. Here's a Rasmussen poll, and I've got this story up. It says a Rasmussen report. This is a poll, I think. I'm doing this for Ryan's birthday. Happy birthday. This is your gift. We're going to talk about a poll. 59% think that Biden is unlikely to finish a four-year term in the White House. Wow. This was from Monday, August 10th. This was like a month ago people thought that. This isn't something that's developing like over time that people are now in the middle of September going, well, I don't know if he's really up for the job. This was a month ago. It says likely Democrat nominee Joe Biden is expected to announce his vice presidential running mate any day now, and most voters think it's likely that person will be president within the next 4 years if Biden is elected in November. This is a Rasmussen report. Like, is this serious? Like, can we elect somebody who we don't think is actually capable of fulfilling 4 years? And why is he playing Despacito at the podium?
School me on this. I'm always talking music with you guys, but I don't know what Despacito is. Is this a popular song?
It's a Justin Bieber song that's also with another artist. And Despacito means slowly. This is the part that I'm like, I don't know if Biden was trolling Trump or now if Trump gets to troll Biden.
He's like the
holy
dwarf.
Cow. It just is.
And now meet slowly.
It was a very popular song in like 2018. It was
a Zumba song. That was a big song when I was doing Zumba.
See, I missed pretty much the entire 2018 Justin Bieber era. So that's probably why I didn't know that.
Yeah, Don Martin, who's watching on the Annie Fry YouTube channel right now, says Harris called it the Harris administration with the Biden presidency. I heard that too. And I'm like, that's the quiet part you're not supposed to say out loud, folks.
And she said it proudly.
Yeah. And is that purposeful? Like, there are things that happen that slip out. We can all as broadcasters relate to when you say something and you're like, that's not what I intended to say. Was that on purpose?
It didn't sound accidental.
Are people voting for a Kamala Harris presidency? Is it like you want more than Joe Biden? If you vote for Biden, you're voting against Trump. But if you vote for Biden Harris, you're voting for Kamala Harris for president. This is a scary proposition. 59% think Biden's unlikely to finish a 4-year term in the White House. Stick around. We got Joy Murdoch when we come back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.